Welcome to the Edinburgh Fringe. I'm Ewan Spence, and today on the pod, making the Fringe more accessible. Yes, good afternoon, good morning, good evening, wherever you are in the world. I'm in Edinburgh, the arts capital of the world, at least during August, as the Edinburgh Fringe takes over Scotland's capital city and brings with it thousands of performers, shows and curtain calls, a small flavour of which we can capture here on the Edinburgh Fringe show. You can listen to all our older shows, edinburghfringe.thepodcastcorner.com, and the shows for the rest of the Fringes run at the same place. But we're not going to talk about a show specifically in this pod. Instead, I wanted to highlight the effort from the Pleasance about more accessibility at the Fringe through live captioning, audio descriptions, relaxed shows, the inclusion of BSL in other shows. So, yeah, making the Fringe more accessible to more people as they attend all the shows. So as part of that, I'm going to speak to Pleasance producer and programmer Johnny Patton and live captioner Claire Hill. Joining me now on the Edinburgh Fringe show, we have Claire Hill and Johnny Patton, who are doing some fantastic work for the Pleasance, putting on a show but not putting on a show. So first of all, Johnny, Claire, welcome.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you, it's nice to be here.
So Johnny, official title at the Pleasance, what are you doing here?
So I'm the programme and producer, so a big part of my job is selecting the theatre work that comes with us every year. But also another aspect of my job is delivering all of the accessible performances that we have at the Fringe. So that is coordinating with our companies on delivering different types of accessible performance, be it relaxed performances, caption performances, audio described performances, touch tours, BSL interpretation, all of the full smorgasbord.
The one that immediately caught my eye and my wife's eye as well was we were at the Pleasance Press launch, the big grand shindig thingamabob, and the words were coming up at the side of the stage, and my wife has audio processing issues, so it can be quite hard in a live space. We always have the subtitles on at the TV at home, and to have that unlocked so much more of the press launch.
And so that's all thanks to Claire, really.
Talking about the press launch is quite a good way of talking about what my job actually is. So I would call myself a live captioner. So I'm actually a stenographer. I use a steno machine, which is a similar, well, it is the same as what people traditionally think of as being used in court. And I do actually, the legal field arbitrations is what I do most of the rest of the year. So for the press launch, it was a mixture of comedians and scripted shows doing an odd scene. And so for the scenes, I had that information in advance. I knew which bits they were going to do, so I could output that line by line like a scripted captioner would. But then for the comedians and Sophie Duker doing the emceeing, I wrote all that live. And it's really interesting that you the way you describe your wife, that she's got auditory processing issues, and she uses caption subtitles on TV. And that's exactly the sort of typical caption user, is somebody who finds subtitles on TV useful. I mean, there are 10 million deaf, deafened and hard of hearing people in the UK who find captions useful, but there's actually more people than that. They should be more mainstream than they are in the live experience.
So you mentioned a couple there. So scripted is the theatre pieces.
Yes.
And doing it live as a comedy. How clinical are you as a captioner when you do that? How much of the mood and the feel of the performer can you bring in?
I suppose given that you're just putting the words on the screen, I think you wouldn't try too hard to, I mean, you can put in extra things to a certain extent, but you're providing text, and the deaf audience member or the caption user can also see the performer as well. So they can kind of put those two things together, the body language and the facial expressions along with the text. But what I, and what I do often have to do is paraphrase a little bit, because sometimes they do go awfully fast. But what you get experienced at is really hitting the punchlines and maybe paraphrasing a little bit how they get to the punchline, but getting the right words of the punchline, which is obviously the bit that they've written. That's the important bit. So for a lot of the comedy shows that we do, like the tour shows, if you like Angela Barnes Hot Mess. So I've had a couple of recordings of that, and there are, you know, she still could go in any direction she likes, but there are certain bits, they're the funny bits, they're the bits she's written in advance, and so I'm able to put them in my dictionary so I can get them out a bit quicker and do short forms for them. So that's how you get faster.
How do you get started in a job like this?
I mean, I'd always worked in court. So I started in the mid-90s working in court, and then I sort of in the late 2000s I started doing like post-show discussions in theatre, and then it was a bit of a sideswipe into comedy. And then in 2016 Soho Theatre brought me up here to caption two of their shows, and I just got bitten by the bug. And then in 2017 I approached Presence at a time when they were thinking about bringing in more accessibility and more captioning, and then we've just worked together ever since.
What's it like adding this extra layer onto the programming?
It opens you up to a whole new audience that you didn't have before. So it's beneficial on so many levels. The Fringe is a incredibly like busy and ramshackle place, but it's a place that everybody deserves to have access to. So through bringing in accessible performances, we've been able to engage a whole new audience, and that's been really brilliant journey for us as a venue.
And it's not just audio captioning that you're working with as well?
It's not just captioning. We've got audio described performances, we've got BSL interpreted performances, and we've got relaxed performances, and we've also got touch tours that go alongside the audio describes. Some of these types of access performances are slightly tricky to do in the context of the Fringe. For example, we have a very strict venue schedule, so we need to kind of be sticking very much to time with very small turnarounds in between. So for example, a touch tour is difficult to kind of deliver within that framework.
Touch tour is when somebody can go around the stage beforehand.
Absolutely. So they have access to the space, they can touch the elements of the set, elements of the costume, and that will kind of inform their kind of experience going into the performance. But we are able to do that if we think about it kind of cleverly. So for example, we have a show this year, Joshua and Me, and that has a touch tour every morning. It's the first show in the venue, so we're able to do that. So we're able to open the house early, and that is offered across the full run.
And you also have performances with BSL.
Yeah, absolutely. We've got a few shows this year that have BSL. We've been very fortunate this year to strike up a great relationship with Deaf Action, who have been kind of advising our companies on integrating BSL into their shows. Obviously, we're not experts in the delivery of that, so it's been really like useful having that as a resource that's been available to our companies. And through that, we've developed a great reciprocal resource marketing relationship with the Deaf Festival, which is also going on at the Fringe here.
Relaxed shows.
So relaxed shows when the standard conventions of theatre are relaxed to make it more accessible. You're able to leave, come back. There's not such harsh sounds. The volume levels are altered on that front. Every show that offer a relaxed performance, we provide them with a questionnaire to find out the exact content of what is in that show and what adjustments they're making to make that a relaxed performance. So the audience has a really clear idea of what to expect when they go into that performance. And that's usually we provide the company produce a relaxed performance guide that will give a full rundown of what to expect, introduce characters, that sort of thing.
It's not yet covering every single show at the Fringe, or even every single show at the Pleasance. How do you decide which shows are which? Are there some companies that really want this? Do you have to push some other companies?
So it's more and more companies, companies are very enthusiastic about offering these. It's something they want to be doing, but it ultimately comes down to funding, really. It does cost money to put on the accessible performances, and we're constantly looking at ways in which we can kind of support our companies in delivering those. And that's one of the reasons why this relationship with Claire is has been so fruitful, is that we've been able to reduce the cost to the company in delivering these. Obviously, in an ideal world, we would be able to cover the costs of that completely, but as an unfunded theatre, we simply can't. The way that the relationship between ourselves and Claire work is we provide some of the technical infrastructure around delivery of this, so making sure that the screens are kind of set up and for when Claire arrives, and then Claire delivers the captioning, and so that also takes pressure off Claire to be kind of delivering the more kind of logistical aspects of this, and she basically needs to get to the venue, do the captioning, and then move on to the next one, so we can have a higher kind of turnover of these, and then there's less sort of kind of worry.
It's quite interesting this year because in previous years we've only output to Pleasant screens, and they've provided like a big plasma screen, a TV, which for the bigger spaces is great. And the one that you saw in Grand, that was a very big screen, and that was excellent, the number of lines we could get on that. But obviously there are some smaller spaces that Pleasants have, like the bunkers and, you know, anywhere. So what we've done this year is that anywhere that's under 100, I've actually got a mini-sized caption unit that's on its own tripod that we're going to set up in those spaces, that's hopefully a bit more suitable to those spaces and won't kind of overwhelm the performer and the size of the stage and, you know, where the audience are, because they're right next to it. So it's, yeah, trying to provide a suitable solution for the size of the space.
Not just at the fringe, but outside and everything in theatre. How much work do you do with the performers, say, during the rehearsal period?
I'd like to, but again, it's about funding. That's generally not something that's offered. So what I would usually get from a performer is a script, if one exists, which is usually kind of a rough, quite an early stage of what their thinking is, but it's nearly always useful. And then ideally two recordings. So certainly for Angela Barnes' show, that's what I've got. I'm captioning Keris Bradley. That's actually at Gilded Balloon tomorrow. And that's what I've had from her, actually three recordings. But then there are some shows like Nina Conti's The Dating Show. That's obviously, you know, it's all going to be made up on the night.
It's completely driven by audience interaction.
Exactly. And things like Mischief Movie Night and The Showstoppers, which I have captioned in the past. I'm not sure yet if we're going to be captioning it here at The Fringe. But it's the same thing. I walk in like the audience and just wait to hear what they're going to say.
Do you feel like a performer?
Yes. Yes, actually I do. I mean, I was a musician before I started doing this job, and there's definite crossovers.
It's almost like jazz, though, working together, but just staying slightly to the side and not stepping on any other performers.
Absolutely,
going through.
Absolutely, yes. More like accompaniment or a drummer or something, like slightly in the background, but supporting all the real performers.
I was there at Pleasance Grand, and Phyllis Monkey were there, who have the biggest drum kits in the world. So you were live captioning on drumming then. I was watching that.
I didn't caption what they said.
They didn't? No, because they didn't say anything. No. But I do remember quite blatant drumming noises.
Yeah. No, there were some... the farmyard noises. Because
yes, that was...
So I left... I didn't caption any of that because I thought the deaf audience could just watch, and I couldn't really add anything by what was captioning. But when they hit a drum and a farmyard noise came out, I thought I needed to let a deaf audience know that that was happening.
So there's always a little bit on the toes and a little bit catching you out and a lot of focus, like any performance.
Yeah.
Lovely. So we've got nearly 50 shows running at the Pleasance that have got various levels of support. How can we find out what those ones are?
So if you go onto our website, we have a tab on the homepage that says accessible performances. You click on that and it breaks it down really easily by each type of accessible performance. You click on that and it will take you through to a list on our website of shows that have that. You go through onto the show page and it will tell you exactly which show is has that access provision attached to it.
And then it's just booking your ticket as normal.
And then book your ticket as normal. Yeah, that's but fine. The Pleasance website is the best place to go.
That's it. Claire, you do this outside of the Pleasance as well. Do you have like a website or a homepage where people can get in touch with you?
So our Fringe website is www.ebfringecaptioning.com, which gives you a calendar listing of all of the performances that we're captioning in the next 2 weeks. There's an email on there that you can get hold of me, but my main website is Claire Hill Real Time. So that's www.clarehillrealtime.com, and there's an A and an E, an I and an E in Claire. But if you Google it, you can email me via Ed Fringe Captioning. That's probably easiest.
And we will have a direct link, as always, back on our website through to everything mentioned here, edinburghfringe.thepodcastcorner.com. Everybody knows where the Pleasance website is.
Oh, pleasance.co.uk.
And you've got updates on shows and offers and everything on your Twitter as well.
Yeah, we're on Twitter at The Pleasance, Instagram, TikTok. If you enjoy the new forms of social media, yeah, we're all on all of those standard channels that you can expect.
Podcasting was the new social media once. anyway, I digress. I reminisce. Claire, Johnny, thanks very much for your time and letting us know about everything that's going on.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you very much.
Accessibility on the Fringe there from the team at the Pleasance. And now that that foothold is there, hopefully that will grow over the next years at the Fringe. Okay, as always, edinburghfringe.thepodcastcorner for all the links that have been discussed on today's show, and also to hear all our previous episodes and the episodes in the future. You can also find us in your favourite podcast directories, your Spotify's, your Google Podcasts, your Apple Podcasts, where you can leave a review and star rating for us there as well. Just like at the Fringe, anything from 1 to 5 stars are all available. And if you want to leave some words as well, that really helps boost the podcast, brings it higher up the listings, which makes it easier for others to find. But for now, I'm going to go back into the Fringe for the weekend shows. And I'm going to leave you with the music. We'll catch you back here tomorrow for another Edinburgh Fringe show. I'm Ewan Spence. Ta-ra for now. You've been listening to the Edinburgh Fringe Show, hosted by Ewan Spence, produced by The Podcast Corner. Listen to more from The Fringe at edinburghfringe.thepodcastcorner.com.